Saul Flores, the deputy governor. She, of course, a former executive director at La Casa Norte in Chicago, La Casa Norte. She's been a regular on WGN Radio in the past, and she joins us now. Ms. Flores, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Hi, Justin.
Good to talk to you. So this is something, first of all, congratulations on being a deputy governor. I don't know how many people can say they've been deputy governor, but you are one of four in the Pritzker administration. And what an honor for you to be so high up in state government after your work here in Chicago.
Yeah, thank you, Justin. It's an honor to serve and continue to serve young people and families like I have done for the last 16 and a half years. So that's what I'm looking forward to doing for the people of Illinois.
So you get human services. That's kind of your area when it comes to how the deputy governors are break down. This story, DCFS, is one that has grabbed Illinois' attention, if not the whole country's attention. When you look at it and you look at everyone directing their ire towards Department of Children and Family Services, what's your reaction?
So, Justin, you said a couple minutes ago, excruciating. It is absolutely excruciating and so incredibly tragic. Just like many of your listeners, I was watching this story intently, and it's incredibly sad. And yes, a tragedy that AJ was murdered and died, and that is not something that is ever taken lightly. I just told you how committed that my life has been about young people and families and uplifting them and protecting them. So that's the first thing. I just, no one takes this lightly. This is absolutely top of mind for the governor and for his administration. And so what we are doing as a result of this, first, Justin, the actual staff that were working on this case have been placed on administrative leave. And they are no longer working on cases right now. And we're carefully reviewing this case and all other cases previously that they have been involved with to make sure that children are where they need to be and that they're being protected. The next thing that we have done, initiated a couple of weeks ago, Justin, is we've brought in an independent, respected group, Chapin Hall, to do a comprehensive study of in-tech services in this state and make immediate recommendations as to what this department and administration can do to immediately protect children. So that's our top responsibility. It is what we've committed our lives to, protecting the most vulnerable and making sure that they want and need that they need and want what they have to thrive.
DCFS has been a constant influx at the state of Illinois for the last decade. I remember there being a lot of controversy during Governor Quinn's administration as well. The question is that, you see more and more of these stories that come forward about caseworkers being just overwhelmed, that there's too much work, there's too much stress, there might be too many cases for them to take on. When this kind of thing happens, from the governor's office, from your perspective, do you have to rethink the way you do this? Do you have to really take a hard look at the way that we're trying to protect children in the state of Illinois?
Absolutely. Absolutely we do. I want to first share with you that less than 6 weeks into his administration, the governor and myself were on the front lines talking to DCFS caseworkers, talking to staff to understand what's happening, how this agency has been hollowed out, and what we can do to make immediate improvements. So taking that information, understanding what all are the things necessary, both in terms of reducing caseworkers, reducing caseloads. Mm-hmm. The governor's recent budget does propose staff increases for an additional 126 caseworkers. But it also looks at, and what we're hearing, what we expect to hear from Chapin Hall, what we're hearing from DCFS staff is money and resources is one component, and the other is, yes, looking at how we can make improvements. What else needs to happen? Do we need to look at, this is the way we've always done things. What can we change? What have we done before that maybe we need to bring back and do it again? Mm-hmm. What can we look up and say, what's happening around the country? Where are other states and municipalities getting this right? And how do we lead on this? And I think that's the last piece I want to say about that, too, Justin, is, the Governor Pritzker appointed Mark Smith to lead this department. And Director Smith is absolutely the right leader for this work. You know, he has decades of experience in child welfare. He's worked both in DCFS as well as outside for a private agency directly working on child welfare. And he is taking an open, transparent approach to directly working with staff, understanding what needs to change, what bureaucracies need to be dismantled, and how we need to re-engage stakeholders and communities.
Sol Flores is my guest. She is deputy governor in the Pritzker administration for the state of Illinois. As we talk about DCFS, one area I want to get your take on this as well, because today the Chicago Tribune put out an investigation about domestic violence victims who are facing risk of being attacked again following some of the reforms that are happening in Cook County. And this really has to do with bond reforms, but also really cutting down on prison sentences and dropping cases. And one of the It seems to be one of the byproducts of that reform is that some of these the people who have been continual domestic violence, violent offenders are back on the street and are doing it again. The Tribune has a great piece on ChicagoTribune.com about this. For you and your work that you've done in the private sector, working for not-for-profits and also with the governor's office, when you see this kind of thing, it's that balance again about whether or not what might be good for one part of reform, you know, takes it out of balance for another. What's your reaction to the story and to the reforms that are happening in Cook County?
Yeah. So, Justin, I've not read that particular story. However, we have to do everything that it takes to protect women, children, victims of domestic violence. We know that, offenders cannot be put in situations where they're going to hurt families and women and children. And we know this continues to happen. There are constant cases of victims leaving their abusers and then abusers still finding them. So we know, yes, balance and criminal justice reform is important. It cannot come at the cost of protecting victims. Victims, families, women, children need to know that the state, that this administration, that their communities are supporting and protecting them.
Yeah. I wonder, Sol, and this is an area that I think it gets to the larger and the bigger question about government, because, you know, with both of the cases talking about DCFS and also about protections for victims of domestic violence, it comes down to what how much money can be set aside and what are taxpayers willing to pay for those kind of services, because they're so important. And obviously we see them, and a lot of times when we see them when there's investigations or the terrible story that we see in Crystal Lake. But there really is this this balance and this conversation about, are you willing to step up and actually give more money so we can have more money allocated in the budget for these types of services? So what do you say to taxpayers who may on one hand say, I don't want anything to do with big government, but at the same time say, I want to make sure that we protect women and children?
I think that's right. And, you know, what we saw over the last 4 years in this administration was a complete dismantling and a hollowing out of our human services infrastructure. And to many of your listeners, you may not even know that you're being touched by these services, but in fact, many of our communities and our families are. You know, an investment in human services in our state is not a handout. It's actually not charity. It's an investment in human potential, human dignity, and eventually human productivity, right? When our young people do better, they form themselves into better citizens that contribute to our community. When mothers and fathers thrive in their roles, they do a better job of raising families. So we don't take taxpayer investments lightly. We're excellent stewards of taxpayer dollars and understand how they need to be keenly invested and what we need to do to again rebuild an infrastructure that actually touches so many of us. I want to remind your listeners, human services in the state of Illinois, it's about seniors. It's about our children with disabilities. It's about the homeless. It's about the precariously housed, right? There are so many ways that it impacts our lives, And yet, this is the thing I think they were all called to do. This is the thing that this governor has said he's committed to. This is what we heard from communities. We want to do a better job of uplifting our very own.
When you have, when you take office after a governor who was a reform governor who came in and said, you know what, we're going to try as much as possible to, to privatize some of the social services, the human services that the state provides. And we saw this with the budget battle that was under Governor Rauner. When you come in, you're the administration after that, and you're talking about rebuilding that infrastructure. It's obviously difficult and it's a challenge, but what has to go into that? What are we talking about, rebuilding the budgets? Are we talking about rehiring? Are we talking about even providing services that were critical that weren't provided before? What does it take to rebuild human service infrastructure?
I think it's first of all, it's all of the above. First thing that we're doing, and this is part of my role as deputy governor, that the governor has asked me to keenly do, is to work closely with all of the state agencies. We know that we need to break down silos. We need to find ways for them to communicate more clearly, to find efficiencies. You know, Justin, your listeners on one side, they don't know, many of them, us, don't know the differences between state agencies. We just know it's the state. We need government to work for us when we're vulnerable. We need government to work for us when we need them. So on my side, that's what I'm focused on. How can agencies work better together with the resources that we have right now? What does it mean to plan for our state to rebuild those services, to go across all communities and say, hey, local community in central or downstate Illinois, what does your specific community need to rebuild? What does it mean in this community? In Chicago, it will look different in the collar counties. And so we're going to local communities, engaging to understand what are your local solutions to your local problems, and then taking that planning purpose, that planning process, and matching it against the resources that we have today and the resources that we need in the future. That is a long-term process. That's not going to be done, you know, in the first 6 months, but we're starting it, and we know it will get there. Justin, we also know that there are incremental changes that we can be making right now, and those are things that the directors of state agencies are focused on. Where can we get rid of waste and inefficiencies? Where can we work closer together to not duplicate services, to actually save dollars and allow us to reinvest them in other services? Yeah.
I wonder, for you, you know, as your time, and we've talked before at La Casa Norte just about serving youth homelessness and being on that side of the equation, moving to deputy governor, what have you learned about how the state works that you didn't know when you were running La Casa Norte?
Yeah, well, it is a state of 12 million people, and we are a rich state in terms of resources and the talents that we have here. And what I didn't know before I came in is how very committed my state colleagues are to doing a good job. And that means at every state agency, Justin, I just have to tell you, you know, they want to make sure that families thrive. They have ideas, and they want leadership and an administration that engages them. The other thing that's just, you know, such an honor to be able to do on this side of the table, if you will, is to continue to work with communities, to work with advocates and other nonprofits and parents and concerned citizens that were just my colleagues, you know, a few months ago. So to continue to bring their best thinking, ideas, research, again, to an administration that is responsive and understands and is committed versus just, you know, sort of hand blanked and a no, or trying to dismantle, which is what, you know, the previous administration did.
Yeah. Saul Flores is deputy governor at the state of Illinois under the Pritzker administration. Saul, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Justin.